This is Cicely Tyson. Off the coast of Rhode Island is an island of long deserted beaches and old hotels with mansard roofs and wide porches overlooking the ocean. It is the beginning of August. The ferry docked an hour ago, and the crowd, which gathered as it does at every ferry arrival, has dispersed. In the hotel lobbies across the island, arriving guests are checking in. Here in the lobby of the inn, a man is checking in for the whole month of August. His name is Randolph Hanley. He wears white linen trousers and a blue blazer.
Do you mean to tell me there are no phones in the rooms, Mrs. Harrison?
We are a little old-fashioned, Mr. Hanley. But we do have a public phone near the entrance to the dining room.
You see, Mrs. Harrison, I'm expecting some very important calls during my stay here. My stockbroker will be calling from New York this evening, and some antitrust lawyers from Baltimore will be calling any day now. I'll be in the lounge if anyone calls.
Yes, sir. I'll remember that.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, a half bottle of your best champagne.
Coming right up.
You did that like a real pro, young man.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Andy, sir.
Well, Andy, how would you like me to get you a job at the Ritz in Boston? Or in Paris, for that matter?
Well, thanks for the offer, but this is only a summer job for me. I'm going to law school.
Fine. I'll fix you up with a sharp young New York firm. Smith, Bancroft, and Jepson, when you're ready. Remember that name? I can get you a job with them with a phone call. Yes, good champagne. Let me be honest with you, Andy. Knowing me is like knowing 1,000 people.
That was Andy's introduction to Mr. Randolph Hanley. And although he didn't think much of it at the time, in the days to come, Mr. Hanley was to have a profound effect on Andy and his friends. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Mr. Hanley Drinks Too Much Champagne, by Chris Fortunato. Our star, Lloyd Bachner.
The next person to meet Mr. Hanley was Andy's friend, Joe, who was employed as the second chef. He spent one miserable day after another in the hot kitchen working under the irascible head chef.
Wake up over there! Haven't you finished preparing the bluefish yet?
I'm working.
And watch the chowder!
All right,
don't let it boil!
All right,
and hurry, I'm straining that stock pot. I need you for something else here.
All right, I'm working as fast as I can.
After a day like that, Joe was susceptible to Mr. Hanley's charming personality. They got talking one afternoon out on the porch.
So you're a chef, is that right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm trying to be, when old Boris isn't screaming at me.
Mrs. Harrison tells me you made the lobster bisque that was served at lunch.
That's right.
I must say it was superb.
You liked it?
Joe, it was a work of art. I've been to the finest restaurants all up and down the eastern seaboard, and I haven't found anything to compare with it. Tell me, what are your plans for the future, Joe?
Keep working, make a few dollars. I guess I'll have to put up with people like our maniac head chef all my life.
The thing to do is ignore people like that.
I wish I could, but I have to earn money doing what I know how to do.
What would you really like to do if you had the chance? If you'd like to work at the Ritz, I'll ask for the phone and call them right now.
No, what I'd really like to do is start my own catering service. The problem is I don't have enough money saved.
I'll arrange for you to get a bank loan.
I've already tried. They won't listen to me.
I have a banker friend up in Providence. I'll speak to him. He'll give you a loan.
I really appreciate that, Mr. Hanley. I can't believe you would do this for me.
Now, you think nothing of it. I have connections, and I'm happy to use them.
Which bank are you talking about? I could call your friend tomorrow.
No, not just yet. The first thing we have to do is figure out how much of a loan you'll need to take out. Mm. Now, why don't we make a list of everything you have to buy, how much each thing costs? You have to go about this professionally.
Mm. Well, let's see. I'll need two ovens at least.
How much will that be?
Just think, Andy. I'll be able to start my catering business after all.
Don't get your hopes too high.
What do you mean? I've worked hard for this.
Yeah, I know that, but I wonder if you should believe what Mr. Hanley says.
Well, why shouldn't I? He knows everybody. All he has to do is make a phone call and I'll have a job at the Ritz.
He told me that, too.
See? Look, there's nothing wrong with him helping us, is there?
But he seems too good to be true. We don't know if he's sincere.
Well, why shouldn't he be sincere? He's a cultivated sort of guy. He knows what he's talking about.
But why would he want to help us?
Well, let's face it, Andy. Most people are like Boris. They won't even give you the time of day. So when you meet someone like Mr. Hanley who's willing to do you a good turn, don't question it. Accept it.
Remember this name, Andy. Spumoni, Redfield, and Kelly. They're a hot young firm down in Hartford, and you're just the kind of person they want. A phone call will wrap it up, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Hanley, but I'm not sure what direction I'll be taking.
Up to you, my boy. Andy, give me the lowdown on something.
Sure.
Are those people at the front desk trustworthy? Now, they won't go telling anyone the nature of the messages I'll be getting, will they?
Oh, no. You can trust the staff here.
I'll tell you why I ask. I'm expecting a call any minute from some of my people in Virginia. We have a merger in the works. If the antitrust boys don't blow the whistle, that's going to rock the very foundation of the copper tubing industry.
Sounds important.
That must be it. I'd better let them know I'm here. Mrs. Harrison? Mrs. Harrison, that's probably for me.
No, that was a reservation, Mr. Hanley. I'll let you know when you get a call.
Mrs. Harrison, may I speak privately with you?
Yes, of course.
I am expecting a very important phone call.
Don't you worry, Mr. Hanley. I'll let you know when it comes through.
You don't expect the phone to be tied up with reservations all evening, do you?
I certainly hope so. We need every reservation we can get.
Oh, business is tough, is it?
It's not so easy, let's put it that way.
Well, give me the signal and I'll bring in some hotel consultants who will increase your profit margin within days.
Well, sir, this isn't such a fancy operation that I need a consulting firm meddling about.
Just trying to help, Mrs. Harrison. Remember about that call.
Yes, sir, I will.
Mr. Hanley, are you really going to help Joe start his catering service?
Of course. He's pretty excited, isn't he? Everything's going to work out fine.
You seem so sure of everything.
On the other hand, you are so unsure, Andy. If your goals were more defined, I'd be able to help you.
I have my doubts about that.
Now, what do you really want, Andy, deep down in your heart?
Well, I really don't know.
Think hard, Andy, and when you find out what it is, work hard to get it. If I have to use any of my connections on your behalf, I will.
Maybe someday I'll take you up on that, Mr. Hanley. Then I'll really know if you're telling the truth.
You ask Joe if I'm telling the truth. There he is now, out on the lawn. I think I'll go have a word with him. Nice talking to you, Andy.
See you tomorrow, Mr. Hanley.
Where's Mr. Hanley gone?
Out. I can't figure him, Mrs. Harrison.
I can. Mr. Hanley drinks too much champagne.
It was not long before Andy's doubts concerning the irrepressible Mr. Hanley turned to resentment. You see, there was somebody else Mr. Hanley took under his wing. Her name was Louise. But perhaps now Andy should tell you what happened.
Louise worked as a waitress and spent all her free time sketching scenes of the island. One afternoon she was sitting on the lawn sketching a yacht which had just docked at the wharf. Mr. Hanley came into the lounge as usual and ordered his champagne. Now, this time he asked for an extra glass. Then he walked outside where Louise was sitting.
Hello. Mind if I sit down here with you?
Not at all.
Care for some champagne?
I don't think so.
I brought an extra glass.
All right. I guess I will have some.
Huh.
This is quite a surprise. Thank you.
The name's Hanley. Randolph Hanley.
I'm Louise Baxter. I work here as a waitress.
Yes, I know. I see you charging off after work every day with your art materials.
I watched them from the lounge, sitting so contentedly on the lawn. I wanted desperately to know what he was saying to her. I wished I had the guts to approach her like that, with a bottle of champagne in one hand and two glasses in the other. I knew in my heart that Louise and I were suited for each other, but she was so distant, and I didn't have the courage to bridge that distance. At that moment, I hated Mr. Hanley for all his bravado and charm.
I do admire your work.
Oh, thank you. Would you like to see my portfolio? It's right here beside me.
Yes, yes, indeed. It would be an honor. Ah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. My initial reaction is proven right.
What's that?
You have vision.
Oh.
I thought so at first, seeing the pastel you were working on. Now I know. Have you ever had a show of your work?
No, not yet. I expect I'll have to go to New York someday and make hundreds of contacts.
Tell me something, Louise. Would you like to have a show in Boston or New York if the opportunity presented itself?
Oh, yes. More than anything. But I can never get up the courage to show my work to a gallery owner. I'm always afraid it'll be rejected.
It seems to me you're rejecting it before you even begin.
Well, the problem is I don't know enough people on the art scene yet. I haven't gone to all the parties and made connections.
How about letting me be your first connection?
Well, that's very nice, but what do you mean?
Just this. I know many of the important gallery owners in New York and Boston. I can't walk down West 57th Street or Newbury Street without five or six people calling out my name.
That's marvelous.
It's marvelous for you, Louise. I'm going to see that you have a show this fall.
That's incredible. I mean, I never dreamed this would happen.
It will happen, but you have a lot of work to do between now and then. Now, we have to decide what to include in your portfolio. Let's go through it again.
As I watched them talking, I didn't have to guess at the outlandish promises Mr. Hanley was making to Louise. I was so angry at the obvious good impression he made that I broached the subject to Louise later that evening.
What are you frowning about, Andy?
I saw you meeting Mr. Hanley this afternoon.
Yes, I did. He's very nice, and, you know, he has a great understanding of art.
I wouldn't believe anything he said if I were you.
Well, how do you know what he said? You weren't there.
I listen to Mr. Hanley every day at the bar. He can't possibly have all the connections he claims to have.
Well, I have no reason to doubt him. He believes in my work.
If you listen to him talking to Joe and me, you might not be so sure. He's got Joe thinking he'll help him start a catering business.
Well, why not? Well, Mr. Hanley is a wealthy businessman, and he knows all sorts of important people.
Well, so he says.
Oh, you're wrong, Andy. I'm going to have a show this fall, thanks to Mr. Hanley.
So that was it. All during June and July, I had cherished Louise at a distance. Now I suffered the humiliation of watching her believe Mr. Hanley and not me. I watched the next afternoon as they walked together up the hill from the inn to the bluffs overlooking the Atlantic.
You know, Andy doesn't believe your promise to get me a show in the fall.
So you and Andy have been talking about me?
Of course. Don't people always gossip about each other? You are for real, aren't you?
As I told you before, look me up in Providence after Labor Day, and I'll see that you get your show.
All right. I'll be there.
In the meantime, you shouldn't let Andy put doubts in your head. With the show coming up in the fall, you have to think of one thing. Filling up that portfolio of yours.
Oh, I'm going to work harder than ever.
That's what I'd like to hear.
It was 2 weeks after Mr. Hanley had arrived at the inn that Joe, Louise, and I discussed our unusual guest.
You know, every day he comes up to me and asks me how I'm progressing with my plans for the catering business. He wants me to make detailed lists of things I have to buy.
Same here. He's always telling me what to include in my portfolio. And he tells me about the different galleries that will accept my work once he gives them a call.
And you two are going to get hurt, I'm afraid. It's a good thing Mr. Hanley isn't asking you for money or you'd both be in debt.
Andy, he's a financial wizard.
Oh.
And he knows restaurateurs and chefs in every major city in the country. He even knows Julia Child.
Sure. Yeah, he probably saw her on the TV show.
But Andy, there's no denying he knows the art world like the back of his hand. Now, I'm not going to ignore a person like that.
Now, nobody can be everything to everybody like Mr. Hanley claims to be. He might be a charming guy, but he's a complete fake if you ask me.
I didn't ask you.
Louise?
Yeah?
You have been doing some nice work lately.
Oh, thank you. You'll have to come to my show.
Early the next afternoon, while sweeping up the cocktail lounge, I received a piece of shocking information.
Andy.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Harrison.
I have some interesting news for you.
Oh?
Hmm? Our friend, Mr. Hanley, checked out 15 minutes ago.
He did? But he was supposed to stay until the end of the month.
Hmm? That's not all. He left with a Catholic priest. Can you figure that one out?
What?
The priest went up to his room, then they both came down together, and Mr. Hanley checked out.
Didn't he leave a message or give any reason for leaving so soon?
No. He mumbled something about a business deal. You know how he talks. Hmm. But that was it. I'll say this. He paid in cash for the whole month.
Did he say if he was going to the ferry or the airport? Do you know?
No, they were planning to catch the Point Judith ferry.
I had 20 minutes to get down to the ferry and find Mr. Hanley and his mysterious companion. I was determined to get to the bottom of the thing. Then I could prove he was a fake and make Louise and Joe believe me.
The wharf, Andy searched through the crowd which had just begun to board the ferry. In a moment, he spotted Mr. Hanley and his priest companion making their way slowly to the gangway. Now, Andy was going to discover the truth about Mr. Hanley and let everyone know, or so he thought.
Hello, Mr. Hanley.
What? Oh, hi, Andy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to stay till the end of the month.
I did too, Andy, but something came up. I've got a multinational deal in the works.
But what about Louise and Joe? You didn't even tell them you were leaving. They were counting on you.
Well, I didn't have time to say goodbye, I'm afraid.
So you're a fake after all.
A fake?
You're not going to do anything for them.
Then what do you mean? I've done a lot for them.
Well, you said they could visit you in Providence and you'd make contacts for them.
That's right. Here's my card. The three of you can visit me anytime.
Excuse me.
Oh, Father James, this is Andy.
How do you do?
A pleasure, Father.
Well, I guess it's time to go aboard.
Oh, we still have a few minutes, don't we? Perhaps you could run over to the gift shop and pick me up a box of taffy. I'll keep your friend company. Oh,
yes, certainly, Father.
It seems that Mr. Hanley has been telling you quite a story.
That's right, Father. And I don't know whether to believe him or not.
Well, perhaps I can clear this up. You see, Mr. Hanley's father was quite a wealthy and successful businessman with all sorts of interests. He died some years ago, and Randolph's never quite recovered from the shock. He was so much in awe of his father's position in the world that he assumed the identity of his father. But it's more fantasy than reality, I'm afraid.
You mean he doesn't know all the people he talks about?
They were his father's friends. Some of them understand the situation and talk with him over the phone from time to time, but Randolph fantasizes that he has the same relationship with these people that his father had.
So he isn't leaving on business after all?
Oh, no. I just thought I'd bring him home. He gets a little high-strung if he stays away for more than a couple of weeks.
I feel bad now that I accused him the way I did.
Oh, now, don't worry. I've known Randolph for many years, and he doesn't take offense easily. In his own way, he's a happy man. You have to be understanding with him, that's all.
I couldn't dislike Mr. Hanley now, but liking him or disliking him wasn't my biggest problem. I had to break the news to Louise and Joe that Mr. Hanley had left the island.
You mean he's gone? But he was going to help me work out my cost chart.
There's no doubt about it. I saw him leave on the 1 o'clock ferry.
Well, how do you like that? I just finished a whole new set of watercolors for the show. I guess I'm not going to have.
Well, looks like you were right, Andy. We were fooled. Oh, boy, it'll be another 5 years before I can get my catering business off the ground.
Wait a minute. He said he would still help you. Now, look at this. He gave me his card, and he wants us to visit him.
Is that what he really said, Andy? That he wants us to visit him? I mean, do you think he still intends to make contacts for us?
Yeah, that's what he told me.
And do you believe him now, Andy?
You know, I'm beginning to.
During the final 2 weeks of the summer, Joe finished his plans for the catering business. He came into the cocktail lounge late one evening with a notebook tucked under his arm.
Andy, how about a small bottle of champagne in memory of Mr. Hanley? It might bring me good luck.
Sure. What's the occasion?
I just finished a breakdown of equipment and costs for starting my business. It's all here in my notebook.
Looks like you did a pretty thorough job.
Yeah, thanks. Well, here's to success. All I can say now is that Mr. Hanley better set me up with one of his banker friends, or all this work is for nothing.
Yeah, he'll keep his word. I'm sure he will. With Louise, I faced a different situation. Besides hiding truths, there were truths revealed.
You don't have to come up to Providence with us if you don't want to, Andy.
Of course I'm going. I can help you. I want everything to work out for you.
You really mean that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You know, Mr. Hanley, he's done something for us.
What's that?
Well, life seems to have more meaning, more challenge since he passed through our lives. You know, he's made us all a little bolder.
After the Labor Day weekend, our work at the inn was completed, and we left on the ferry for the mainland. Now I felt more than ever the burden of my friend's expectations. We stayed with Joe's brother, who had an apartment in Providence. Of course, we talked of nothing but Mr. Hanley, and I had to convince my friends that I should visit him alone.
Andy, let's go see Mr. Hanley this afternoon. I'm getting anxious.
Good. There's no time like the present.
Oh, hold on, you two. It doesn't look good for the three of us to go traipsing into his house together. Now, why don't I go? And I can speak for both of you as if I'm your agent.
You never believe Mr. Hanley. He might not want to talk to you.
Well, he talked to me every day in the cocktail lounge. He probably knows me better than he does you.
Andy, it's Louise and me he's helping. Maybe we should go alone together.
No way. I want to be involved in this, too. He gave his business card to me. I'm your agent, and I'm going alone.
Maybe you're right. You go check with Mr. Hanley and find out what contacts he's made for us.
I'll go right now.
Andy, there must be something in this for you besides being involved. What is it?
If you only knew.
Cicely Tyson again, and here's the fourth act of Mr. Hanley Drinks Too Much Champagne.
Mr. Hanley lived on Benefit Street in a well-preserved 18th century house. A maid greeted me at the door and ushered me into his study.
Andy, how are you?
Oh, fine, Mr. Hanley.
You caught me just at the right time. The workload's let up a bit. But I am expecting a call from a pipeline company in Houston. I'll be talking oil rigs all evening.
Oh, I don't want to disturb you.
Oh, think nothing of it. Sit down, sit down. Would you like some champagne?
No, thanks. I'll only stay a minute.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk to you about Louise and Joe.
Louise and Joe, how are they?
Oh, fine. They came up to Providence with me.
They're here. Well, send them into this study. That really calls for champagne. I'll even take my phone off the hook.
No need for that, Mr. Hanley. I'm here on my own as their emissary.
Oh, I see.
Have you made the contacts for them yet?
Don't say another word, Andy. Don't say another word. It's done.
It is?
Like that.
Well, who should say see?
Well, you tell Louise to speak to Mr. Werner at the Werner Gallery on Newbury Street in Boston.
Oh, is he expecting her?
With bated breath. Now, as for Joe, have him speak to Mr. Hanks at the Unified Bank right here in Providence. A bunny, that's what we call Mr. Hanks. Oh. He's very helpful to young entrepreneurs.
Well, I know Louise and Joe will be happy to hear this.
And how about you, Andy? What can I do for you?
I'd rather we waited on that.
All right. You can't say I didn't offer. There's the phone. Like I said, it's probably that pipeline company from Houston. I'll be talking oil rigs all evening. So long, Andy.
He waited until I was in the hallway before picking up the phone.
Randolph Hanley here. Oh, hello, Mother. And what can I do for you?
At least now I had somewhere to send Louise and Joe. I must say, Mr. Hanley was believable, but there was really no way of telling if he was still in his imaginary world or if he had made the contacts.
Well, how did it go, Andy?
Well, everything is set. You're to go to the Unified Bank here in Providence and see Mr. Hanks. Louise, you're to take your portfolio to Mr. Werner at the Werner Gallery in Boston.
I've never seen you so sure of anything, Andy. You were so doubtful at first.
Yeah, that's right, Andy. I'm beginning to think you believe Mr. Hanley more than we do.
And so the next day, Louise set off for Boston with her portfolio of watercolors, sketches, and pastel drawings under her arm.
How do you do? May I assist you?
Are you Mr. Werner?
Yes, I am.
My name is Louise Baxter.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Miss Baxter. If you'd care to look around, please do so.
Oh, that's not why I'm here.
Oh, pity.
Randolph Hanley. Mr. Randolph Hanley told me to come by and speak with you.
And who, may I ask, is Randolph Hanley?
You mean you don't know?
I wouldn't be asking you who he is if I already knew.
Well, he was supposed to tell you about me.
If I don't know the man, it would be hard for him to tell me anything now, wouldn't it?
Mr. Randolph Hanley from Providence. Maybe that helps.
It could be Randolph Hanley from Transylvania. I simply do not know who he is.
Well, will you look at my work anyhow? He was going to tell you about it. I want to have a show.
Well, all right. Let's have a look at it. I don't need Randolph Hanley or anybody else, for that matter, to tell me what art is worthy of my gallery. Yeah, there's some fine work here. Your watercolors are quite good. So vibrant and impressionistic.
That's my best work. Mr. Hanley liked those, too.
Who is this Mr. Hanley? Maybe I should know him. Is he an art critic?
Oh, I don't really know who or what he is.
What kind of an answer is that? You've been dropping his name ever since you walked in here, and now you tell me you don't know who or what he is.
I don't know much about him except... Well, that he claims to know many important people, including you.
I'll invite him to your opening.
You mean you'll show my work?
Some of it. It'll be a group showing with other young artists. Is that acceptable?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
That same day, Joe seemed kind of uncertain about his visit to the Unified Bank in Providence.
Andy, look, before I go into the bank, I have to tell you, I've been suspicious of Mr. Hanley ever since he took off from the island so suddenly.
There's nothing to be suspicious about.
I just can't figure out why you've changed your mind about him after thinking he was a fake.
I haven't really. It just took me a while to recognize his finer points.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Andy. If I wasn't so well prepared, I wouldn't have the courage to go asking for a loan. Mr. Hanks?
Yes.
My name's Joe Prescott. Mr. Hanley told me to speak to you about the loan.
Mr. Hanley? The loan? I don't understand.
Don't you know Randolph Hanley? He says he knows you.
Well, I seem to remember a William Hanley. Oh, but that was some years ago. I have a vague recollection of a son by the name of Randolph, yes. But he never spoke to me, I can tell you that.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
Well, now, please sit down. What was it you wanted a loan for?
I want to start a catering business. I know I can make a success of it. I have 6 years' experience as a cook. Look, all my plans are outlined in this notebook. Here, take a look at it. Mr. Hanley was supposed to tell you about me.
Mr. Hanks looked carefully through Joe's notebook. Then he said,
"All right, Joe. I like the plans you made. You'll get your loan."
And so my friends were successful.
Oh, you can't imagine how embarrassed I was. Mr. Hanks had never heard from Mr. Hanley.
I was so humiliated, I almost melted into the floor.
Mr. Hanley turned out to be a fake, just like you said in the beginning, Andy. You know, we should have done this on our own.
And you think so? Who was it who gave you the courage you were talking about earlier? And who was it that encouraged you to write down all your plans in detail? Who was it that fired your hope for starting your own business?
He's right, Joe. We do owe a lot to Mr. Hanley. But, Andy, I would like to know what you got out of all this.
I'll answer that with a question. How would you like to join me for a bottle of champagne?
That sounds good to me.
I'd love to.
Six weeks later, Louise's show opened at the Werner Gallery. And you guessed it, Joe catered the party.
Andy, look who's coming through the door.
Is it? It is. Hello, Mr. Hanley.
Hello, Andy, Louise.
Hello, Mr. Hanley.
And here comes Joe.
Oh, hi, Mr. Hanley.
Joe?
Well, would you like some champagne?
Oh, thank you, Joe. Sorry I'm late. I got tied up with business. Talking with some export people out on the West Coast all afternoon.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Hanley. Look at all these people.
You act surprised. Didn't you know it would be this crowded? I connected you with one of the best galleries in Boston. And, Andy, you look well.
I am.
And do you, you still think I'm a fake?
Oh, no, not at all.
Ah, that must be for me. Miss Werner? Mr. Werner?
Yes?
That's probably my stockbroker calling from New York. Tell him I can't speak to him now. I'm busy with friends.
And who are you?
I'm Randolph Hanley, of course.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Mr. Hanley Drinks Too Much Champagne, was written by Chris Fortunato and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our star was Lloyd Bachner. Featured in the cast were Corey Burton, Lou Horn, Joan McCall, Louise Fitch, Howard Culver, and Andre Storka. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBR. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Maxwell House Coffee. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.